Grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Any of you carrying some pain with you today? I had the chance to be out in Colorado this last week for a pastor's conference and mixed in some skiing, and I'm carrying a little pain with me this morning as I'm stretching and kind of getting it out. But pain, of course, can manifest in a lot of ways. It can be emotional or spiritual, maybe sadness or grief. And imagine that not a life really goes by without some encounter of that. In this way, maybe it's a good thing that we hear some stories about Jesus healing people. The Gospel of Mark is adamant, probably more than any other gospel, of talking about Jesus' power to heal. And we hear it in the story this morning. And I confess at the outset, I've been telling a few people this morning that sometimes I don't know what to do with these stories. I kind of have trouble with them. These miracles can often seem, well, a bit too miraculous. And yet I'm aware that they're shared and they're told by witnesses and passed on to us in faith who might hear them and find some hope. Just to give a recap of what Pastor Callan read in the gospel this morning, it's kind of a healing sandwiched in between a healing. Did you notice that? Jesus comes across the Lake Galilee after healing a man on the other side, and as he gets to the shore, there's already a crowd waiting for him. And they're pressing in on him, wanting to hear from him, wanting to see where he's going, what he's doing. And then a leader of the synagogue named Jairus comes, and he pleads repeatedly with Jesus that he would come and lay hands on his daughter who is about to die. And Jesus follows. He goes ahead. But then he's interrupted on the way. There's a big crowd pressing in on him, and there's a woman we hear who has been suffering 12 long years with hemorrhages. And she thinks that if only she can kind of weasel her way through the crowd and just touch a bit of Jesus' garment that he's wearing, she'll be healed. It's interesting to note, she's been suffering from her illness the same amount of time that the girl has been alive. Might be something to do with that. No coincidence in the story. And Mark says that it's not for lack of treatment that she's still suffering. Mark says she was to physicians and endured lots of treatment and spent all that she had in trying to address this. Struck me that apparently ancient Israel had trouble providing affordable health care as well. And she had gotten no better. And as such, she was expected, actually, to stay away from everybody. Even in the ancient world, they had notions of social distancing, you know? People who had various germs or maybe infected secretions or runny noses and such were kind of expected to remain isolated. And not only that, with her particular illness, she was deemed ritually unclean. So she wasn't allowed to go to temple. She wasn't allowed to go to church. So not only does she have a physical ailment, but her disease even kept her socially ostracized and ostracized in the congregation of the people. Well, she weasels her way through and does grab onto and touch Jesus' cloak, and immediately she's healed. And then Jesus looks around and he says, I love this, he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples in the crowd crowded around him like, "Dude, everybody's touching you. What are you talking about?" But he looks around some more to see who it was, and then she comes forward. And as Pastor Callan read, it said she came forward in fear and trembling. And she told the whole truth. The whole truth. And imagine as people heard that, if they were adhering and listening to what she had said, they were hearing that she was ritually unclean, that she was physically unclean, that she was spiritually unclean, and now here she was among a crowd of people. But Jesus says something different. His reply to her is this: "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases." Her physical disease, but also her spiritual and social ostracization. He calls her daughter, effectively calling her one of his own family, welcoming her back into the fold of the people and saying that she belongs. As they go along, another tragedy ensues, because as Jesus has been delayed by this scene, people come and tell them that the daughter, the 12-year-old, has sadly died. And Jesus looks at Jairus and says, "Do not fear, only believe." And he continues to the household where people are weeping and crying and there's a commotion. I think Jesus says something pretty astounding to those people who are grieving. He says, "Why do you weep and make a commotion? For she is not dead, but sleeping." Sadly, I've had the unfortunate privilege of walking with people and doing funerals for families who have lost children. And I would never tell them, "Why are you weeping?" But it seems Jesus does. And that might be offensive unless we know that Jesus has power beyond that which we can see. And unless we see that Jesus even confronts death in a way that we could never imagine. He goes into the household. He takes her by the hand and says, "Talitha kum," in Aramaic, which means, "Little girl, get up." And she gets up and he tells the parents, "Better give her some breakfast." There's a lot in that story. I think it's difficult still, even for me as a pastor. I read it so many times this week. And there's danger in it, perhaps. Don't think it means that if we only pray enough or have enough faith, then all of our ailments will go away immediately. I also don't think it doesn't mean you should go to the doctor. You shouldn't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. Trust what they say. Take your medicine. Rather, I think this story is proclaimed as a source of hope and healing, and the amazing compassion that Jesus has for all people. And it says, finally, there is nothing that can prevent God's love from getting to you. There's nothing physically that can prevent God from getting to you. There's nothing spiritually that can prevent God from getting to you. There's nothing socially or emotionally that can prevent God from getting to us. And it's told so that we, even amid the worst that we encounter, even amid hopelessness, might have a shred of hope that God is still with us. We might even say, even if God seems interrupted or delayed, Jesus will continue to make his way to our house, to this house, to your house. And if he doesn't get there before you die, he still ain't done. And as those who follow along and see this, then we too become his physicians in the world, caring for each other, bearing one another's burdens, helping heal this world and all of our neighbors. And as we do in faith and hope, confessing all the truth of our lives, Jesus even says to each one of us, "Daughter, son, beloved child, your faith has made you well." Thanks be to God. Amen.